the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I to confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, and in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Saying the ending recitation and saying how, you know, if we you know, if we're not committed to ending suffering, we won't end suffering. And I you know, sometimes I'll see the same thing or hear the same thing in a different context and it stands out more. And I just finished reading a book that we got when we were in England about these people who run in the high fells of England. I mean, they're called fell runners, and they like run 24 mountains in 24 hours and things like that. And both inspiring and sort of nuts at the same time. But
this is the Japanese equivalent to that. Anyway, go ahead.
But this guy who wrote this book was not a. He was not a great fell runner himself, but he really enjoyed it, and he was setting new challenges for himself and learning about it, and wrote this book in the process. And there's a particular endurance thing that he was trying to accomplish, and he'd done it three times and failed, and he finally decided to go for a fourth try. And he was doing a really hard training run for his fourth try, and was in that mindset of, you know, this is, you know, just way too hard, and, you know, I can't do this, and this is, you know, why am I doing this? You know, I should just quit now. And he just had this moment of insight where he said, no, I'm going to do this. You know, it wasn't, and it was just that, just one of those little clarity things, you know, I'm going to do this. And he said, and he said he knew in that moment that he would, and that he would do what it would take to do it. And that meant finishing that training run and just not letting his mind talk him out of being able to do it even. You know? And he said he looked back and he realized that he didn't succeed on the first three rounds because he let his mind say, oh, this is, you know, it's not working, we're not doing it, we might as well quit now. And I don't know, for some reason that just spoke to me about a lot of things in my life about, you know, particularly practice, I think, you know, if I'm going to do it, then I'm going to do it.
That's right.
And there is no conversation about whether or not it's hard or we're going to succeed or, you know, it's
well, this, just... the way this guy is talking about it, it's if there is conversation,
right.
Then that will
sabotage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, you know, it's just one of those things that sort of created another touch point that when I find those conversations about anything coming up, it's like, oh, wow, you know, all I have to say is, well, I'm going to do this. You know, and be with the part of me who wants to do that. I just found it particularly helpful. And so I've been particularly gotten interested in looking at the part of me who believes that, well, you know, this is the wrong kind of success that I'm going to talk about now. So there's a part of me who is so bent on succeeding and being seen as good, right, perfect, you know, getting the job done, doing it right, getting praise, being good, you know, and just seeing how much, but at the same time that she wants to do all that, she knows she can't. I mean, that's like she's looking for the failure at every moment.
Is it your experience that that's the same person?
Well,
or the same part,
no,
or the same thing?
It's not the same person, but they're twins. I mean, they're a dynamic duo. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because one of them, well, you know, actually, they might be the same person because the worldview is that, I mean, the set of beliefs and assumptions and projection onto the world is that that's the way she has to be in order to be loved.
She has to be, do all those things,
all
succeed.
Those things, right. Yeah. Yeah. And her worldview also is that she can't.
She can't.
You know, that's the standard, and she can't meet that standard.
Mm-hmm.
Even though somebody does a lot of the time, but. But you know, I'm just really starting to look more closely at her,
mm-hmm.
because one thing I haven't before seen how much that she sabotages the physical body, mm-hmm. just watching the sensations that arise when she shows up,
mm-hmm.
because she starts getting frantic, she starts. You know, she starts seeing what the goal should be. She starts believing she can't make it. And the shoulders go up to the ears and the body tightens and the breathing is tight and the
mm-hmm.
you know, anxiousness comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a pleasant experience.
Uh-huh. So all that happens as a result of this person
believing that she's got to be a certain way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's someone who's, I don't know, someone has set up a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Someone is afraid. I don't know who yet all these people are. Someone set up a standard.
Okay, someone's setting up a standard.
Right. Someone's pretty sure she can't live up to it.
She can't live up to
right.
it.
And therefore puts a lot of effort into trying to make sure that the other side of that isn't going to happen. That she's
what's
not going to.
The other side.
She's going to be in trouble.
She's
going to be bad. All the opposites of those other things. She's going to fail. She's
going to
be
fail.
Bad.
Uh-huh.
She's going to be hated. She's going to be, you know.
And that's what you suspect she's going for?
Well, she doesn't want that, but that's what all of the tension in the body comes up in defense mm-hmm. against.
Uh-huh. So it's in know? Defense against that happening, but that's
right.
That's what she's going
right.
for.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, so there's the standard of what you're
mm-hmm.
supposed to be going for. There's the fear
mm-hmm.
of the opposite happening. And
mm-hmm.
in the middle of that is a body that holds a lot of tension about
right.
trying, well, really, not trying to make the good things happen, but trying to make sure the bad things don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the worldview,
yeah.
is that
right.
it's not about...
That's right.
It's about making sure that the bad stuff doesn't happen, because
right.
the bad stuff is the failure, the not living up to expectations,
right.
the things that...
Right. Right.
Okay.
But you're only there because of the standards of how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they have to be guarded, you know, against them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so there has to be this constant, you need
yeah.
to, you must,
yeah.
but the paradigm ends up becoming, but you can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like that old, you know, woman on the railroad tracks or something like that. And you must pay the rent.
But
I can't pay the rent.
So, you know, it's in light of what I started out talking about, it's such a whole different thing from just, you know, being in this body certain of what I'm going for.
That's right. You know? Yeah, because there is that part of it. Because when you laid out that whole story about these fell runners, or this person who was writing about the fell runners, that person got very clear that there was a conversation going on about how it can't do this. It's impossible. And that had been going on and prevented him from actually succeeding at it. That he realized that without that, there was just being determined to do the thing. Yeah. Kind of like what you were relating to the ending suffering part, if you hear to end suffering. Yeah. It's like, okay, this is what I'm doing. Do. And coming from a perspective of, I will do whatever it takes to achieve this goal. And so getting the training, continuing to keep going with it, seeing what comes up as it stops me, very related to practice. Yeah. And this whole thing. And it's interesting to see what comes in to have perspectives, beliefs about it. Everything gets in the way from actually just doing it. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
It's like if we were just, say, chopping a carrot, it's like, well, how much of the conversation is actually needed to achieve this?
Yeah, I know, there is. And a carrot is a great example. You know, I've been in the kitchen when, you know, it turns from just being a person chopping a carrot and getting a job done to, are these the right sizes of pieces? And if somebody sees them and they're not, what are they going to say and what's going to happen? And will it ruin the whole recipe?
And my God, it needs to be done in five minutes.
Right, exactly. Besides that, there's no time left. Yeah, uh-huh. That's exactly the process.
Uh-huh.
It happens with a carrot.
The board with the, yeah, sort of,
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm just practicing being with the person chopping the carrot and saying, I'm going to chop this carrot. Rather than, oh my God, what happens if I don't chop it right?
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, and it's just physiologically such a different set of experiences.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what is it that's causing everything that happens.
Yeah, I'm really looking at, what's the point where that changes?
Yeah, where's the switch?
Where does that shift happen? Because it does, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm here, all is well. I'm here, all is not well.
Yeah.
And something, that's what I'm looking at right there.
What point does it shift?
Something and someone, you know, who arises, you know. Mm-hmm. When does that happen? Who arises? Where have I been while that was happening? Mm-hmm. Who allows her to come up and who's not taking care of her? Mm-hmm. I don't know, that's just where I am.
Yeah.
That's where I am right now.
Yeah, well, it's your own version of the bell runner.
That's right.
You know, it's the get yourself some carrots or something. it sounds like it happens across the board.
It happens
any
across
process,
the board.
So it's just something that just keep paying attention to as it happens. So how do we shift from well-being to suffering.
Yeah.
Thank you. Marie.
First thing I want to say is it feels so good to be here and be on this time zone, and my body to be on this time zone. It never happens. And so I'm really enjoying that. And but some of the things I'm looking at, one is last night, you know, it feels like karma is really after me these days, and so last night, conditioning was facilitating me last night, or trying to, when I would wake up, and I slept off and on, and so on some level I wanted to just, like, you know, just listen to a guidance tape or something, and every time I woke up, so I wouldn't have to be facilitated by conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was trying to just experiment with it, and so it feels like what happened last night is it pretty much summed up everything. I mean, it reminded me of every weird thing that's ever happened in my life, you know, and with a spin on it that made me somehow bad and wrong.
Mm.
And I was doing that pretty much all night, and I was, I don't know, slightly hooked in, or, you know, not terribly, terribly hooked in. And so then I woke up, when I got up this morning, you know, I was kind of in this time zone, and so I sat on the porch and watched the sunrise, and that was just really fun to do. And So I started feeling all this gratitude. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I kind of reflect on that, it feels like conditioning works so hard all the time. Mm-hmm. In order to get that spin on things.
Oh, yeah.
And to kind of keep this person believing and responding to that, that it has to work so hard. Because, I mean, it was just so endless last night. And I was thinking of all the range of topics that I got covered. Things when I was little, you know.
What have we left out?
My mother, you know. Every friendship or anything weird happened in.
And had to do the spin and make you feel bad and wrong.
Yeah, and how much effort went into that. Mm-hmm. You know? And then it's, you know, I think on some level, even while I was doing it last night, I could see it, maybe in a different way than I've seen it before.
Because it sounds like you were kind of like watching it and listening to it and kind of go along with it a little bit, but you said you weren't hooked completely by it because you are able to talk about it as though you were facilitated by conditioning. Otherwise, it'd just be like,
instead of just being a loser.
Yeah, just like, this is what happened. It's true. This is who I am.
Yeah. Because, you know, I don't know, I was looking at how to work with it, because it feels like it's just assaulting me all the time, and, you know, so part of me just wants to kind of, I can't hear you, or whatever, but that doesn't seem practical for life, you know.
And it'd be interesting that, just for the heck of it, one day when you're feeling impractical.
I don't know, maybe it's just to see it for what it is.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's going to be blah, 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 whatever it's can come up with. And, but, you know, what it struck me about this morning, because when I was sitting there, I was just feeling a lot of gratitude, and like, there were so many things to have gratitude for, really. And it's just that gets shut out.
Oh, totally. It's because, well, the attention has to be on what conditioning was dishing out.
Right, because it feels, I mean, this morning it felt like there's so much being offered to me by life that in order not to really take that in, I have to give it a lot of attention to condition one.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you saw how hard it's working to do that. Keep the, I mean, that's what the whole, all the is all about. It's just, okay, here's the lights and smoke and the, you know, the action drama, the movie that of your life that you need to focus on.
It has nothing to do with my life.
No, nothing to do with your life, because your life is right here. You're lying in your bed or wherever you are, or sitting on the porch watching the sunset. But it's like, it's trying so hard to drag you away from here, which is where I would project the gratitude is, because where the peace and the relaxation, because there's really nothing going on.
Yeah, so I don't know, it just really strikes me how, you know, for a while I was doing a bunch of different facilitation trainings, and people would practice on you a lot, and I used to really not enjoy it very much, because I used to be in kind of this environment, and in those other trainings, there was a lot more spin that got put on things, but I think conditioning does that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll allow myself to be, you know, kind of go along with that for some reason.
Well, it's like, you know, kind of in the previous example, it's got the same person to talk to over and over again that will buy into it and go along with it, and it will be just completely believable because it's the habit. It's what I've always done. It says this.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like a bad facilitator that studied your whole life.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
And there's all the things.
Well, it's not even
for
a facilitator. It's almost like, you know, like trying to get you to do something. You know, I picture a facilitator kind of like being a medium between. This one's got an agenda, and you know, the agenda is for you. It's more like a director, you know, just trying to get you to get to play your part. And if you're going to be conscious to it, then it's going to get really upset because you're not playing your part. You're going to focus in on the gratitude and the kindness and the peace and the whatever else that's actually here, not part of the script.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of that, you know, maybe the Truman Show, where he says, the being that's running everything says, you know, I've been with you since you were born.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why, you know, conditioning it gets away with it, I guess, because it knows exactly
the
weak spots, what to say,
what
I'm going to go off with, and so.
Yeah, because that's the way you are a source of energy for it or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like it gets its way that way.
Yeah. So I guess that's why we do so much awareness practice.
Yeah, because the habit is to continually keep going along with that without actually noticing that that's what's happening. That's just the way I am. I just wake up in the morning and I get the conclusion that, oh, I'm a loser, because that's what it always happens. And the practice is to keep, to notice that that's happening and then realizing that that's going on and then dropping it. And actually experiencing what's here, like the sunset or the sunrise, actually. And this is,
yeah, I think it's really helpful to spend the night like that and then to wake up and go, that has anything to do with anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's really helpful to have that experience.
Yeah, it's really helpful, and it speaks to, you know, the depth of practice that's involved in getting to the point where you can actually notice that's what it is.
Yeah, it's a lot different than how I used to be when I woke up after a night of that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great, thank you. Leslie.
Yes, I wasn't sure if there was another one. Okay.
Another Leslie?
Yeah.
You never know.
I want to look at one thing, but I'm right now... I don't know how to look at anything. It's just a familiar, familiar voice.
Uh-huh.
So
can I reflect? You don't know how to look at anything. That's what
it
says.
Yeah, I don't know how to look at anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a job at home,
mm-hmm.
and somebody is confused by subpersonalities and feels very overwhelmed by how many there are and how to look at them and how to separate them and how to do it.
Uh-huh. So to understand it, so what to do with that information.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and somebody wants it all to be really, you know, clean and
mm-hmm.
and easy.
Clean and easy, and what else does this person want? To understand. To know how to look at it, is it?
Yeah, that's a big one. That
mm-hmm.
I have to understand and
mm-hmm.
know, and this is kind of like a scientific viewpoint.
Right. Yeah.
So the job is lots of belongings that have history, career I didn't do, multiple sheds, and so I just want to expose, I think, some of these personalities. One is just overwhelmed
mm-hmm.
by separating out the what's recyclable from the what can't be recycled. And then somebody has to figure out what can be donated. It's a little tricky when it comes to certain types of materials because it's professional materials. There's somebody that's completely in pain about anything that goes to the landfill. So just feels like it's better in taking space and sheds and getting wrecked and being left for my daughter and I don't know what.
Rather than just
the landfill thing, just really.
What do you think is behind all of that?
The first thing comes to mind is letting go.
Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is about letting go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what part of it?
I know. What part of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What part of it is about the letting go?
Mm-hmm.
What comes to mind is just like that's who I am is who I was or something.
Who you are is who you were.
Yeah, like if hand, I know it's just stuff. And I don't want the stuff. I feel like it's...
Well, that's another part, right?
Okay, so you're saying that which part's another part?
So there's, you know, I gotta do the right thing. You know, like I gotta, is that kind of it? Like I need to either recycle or it needs to go in the
Well, I gotta recycle as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I need to donate whatever would be useful to somebody.
That's right. Or even to somebody else and have it in a shed so that it can go to somebody else.
Oh, no, not my shed. See, there is part of you that really, I think, knows that I got to get rid of this stuff. It's weighing me down. It's not useful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one that gets all excited.
It's just stuff, yeah.
Well, no, it's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, you know, that's the hard part is it's...
Mm-hmm. It's stuff.
It's, yeah, there's the want to get rid of it. There's the don't know how to do it, overwhelmed by it.
Uh-huh.
And there's the doing it, yeah, there's that old doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's trying to, I want to be in the state of mind. I want to let go of it. I don't want it. I don't want it anymore.
You don't want it anymore.
I feel like I'm being held back by it. It's not. Not helping.
Yeah.
It's clogging.
Right. Uh-huh.
So it's like...
Like you don't end up going anywhere with it. Nothing happens, right?
I don't understand.
Well, so it's clogging it. You're like, can you describe clogging it?
It's like this room, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The Zen, you know, clarity and when it comes to space and it's so not like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is clogging my mind.
Mm-hmm. It's clogging your mind, right? It's continually being brought up. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When it's there, so then that creates this job,
mm-hmm.
which is the dealing with it.
Uh-huh. And there's lots of different ways of dealing with it, it sounds like.
And I can sort of step back and see myself, like, looking at something,
mm-hmm.
like, whatever I did the other day. And sometimes I can see myself not letting it go, choosing, like, almost doing that,
mm-hmm.
but then not doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what happens when you don't? And what happens when you do?
Well, when I don't, there's still stuff.
And when I do,
I have less stuff.
Uh-huh.
And that bottom line feels good. So I guess I'm looking for guidance on how to mentor. Whoever's job is going to get in there and do it. Man, I want that person there, and I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a whole lot going on because it's like every part of it. I mean, if you were to process map the whole thing, you'd get to see all the different players, all the different pieces of conditioning coming in, and, you know, expectations about what you're supposed to do, what you can't do. You know, every part has its own little belief system about the stuff. You know, you just laid out lots of different parts, you know, that are involved in this, and the conditioning that's coming in to, you know, there's the overwhelm, there's the doing it right, there's the keep the stuff that needs, well, it needs to go here, it needs to go there, so. In the middle of all this is this person who's just caught up in the middle of it. Is that an accurate description?
Oh, yeah. And then I've got all my husband's stuff.
Oh, well, I don't even want to
talk about the husband's stuff. No, so I'm trying to not get into that.
And you suspect that somehow there's...
I've had to be involved with that with some rain and mm-hmm. some stuff out of a shed. So that's, I think it's especially...
What you said was letting go. And somehow in there, there's some letting go.
It's a big opportunity to let go.
Yeah. I don't see if anybody else has a perspective
yes,
on this.
Yes, that would be helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Dave.
Well, what I noticed in this, and I was noticing earlier in the conversation too, is that it seems to me anyway, there's a place at which we have to stop figuring this stuff out,
mm-hmm.
and we have to just not suffer.
Right. Yeah, it's almost like if there were to be a goal, maybe not suffering would be the one.
Well, even not even so much as a goal, it's just that, you know, it feels like in the beginning there's, you know, that the subpersonality work is a really useful tool, but that can just get absorbed into the conditioned system just like anything else can.
Right.
And so, we've often talked about this in the past, where in group, where we get into a somebody this, somebody that, somebody this, somebody that, and you can sense that if the tool is no longer being used.
Not being used to see.
Right, it's being used to stay in the same place. And of course, the reason for that is there's a somebody who's doing that.
That's right, which is the part that's always missing in all of that, is that there's no looking this, well, there's no awareness of what is it that's using the tool to see what it is that they, you know what I mean? Like,
to see what it is. What was coming up this morning in the conversation was, to some extent, that's useful, but there gets a place where that becomes unuseful, because we just keep trying to figure it out. We just creep, you know, try to figure out who's here as if that's going to get us someplace.
Right.
But it actually isn't. The whole point of all of that is just to see that we're in conditioning.
Right.
That's it. We actually don't have to know who's involved.
Yeah. Well, it's true with everything that we look at. It's true with beliefs and assumptions. You know, sometimes we talk about Enneagram work. It's the same thing there. At a certain point, the tool has been usurped into the system as a way of kind of locking me in, instead of freeing me up. So instead of seeing how it is that everything that all the tools cause me to suffer, they are the source of the suffering. Like it's just been incorporated into the system to tell me who it is that I am, what I need to do. It's because there's a secret agenda.
Yeah, it's tricky because the language that we use does lend itself to that. It can lend itself to that, to just somebody trying to figure it out. But that's just missing the point. And that's not what we're really doing.
Yeah.
You know, what we're doing is letting go, what Leslie was talking about.
That's right.
So all we are doing, seems to me anyway, is dropping conditioned mind and coming back here.
Yep.
That's it. And that doesn't require, we don't have to know anything to do that. We don't have to figure out anything to do that. We don't have to know who the players are.
That's right.
There's a way that it's just so easy to get stuck in a place where we are a somebody doing practice, and it's really deceptive, and it's hard to kind of get around, because that seems so much like that's just a me.
That's right.
Who is just really difficult to see.
Yeah, the me that it's very difficult to see, and that. It's constantly referencing, it's so separate the way you're laying it out. It's like someone is evaluating in every moment how it is that I'm doing, what it is that I'm doing, and coming up with conclusions of like, you know, who is this? You know, it's like, where am I looking to get my information?
You know? And again, to a certain point, it's useful to see that, but only if that's in aid of the letting go and dropping the whole thing. I mean, who cares on some level how it's doing it?
Right.
I just need to know it's doing it.
Yes.
And then to not do it.
That's right.
And just be here.
Yes. Yeah. Which gets really tricky. It's like, as you're describing, it's like, well, is it, you know, it's like, we always had this way of talking about it. Is it leading towards suffering or away from suffering? And I think that can be applied for at any moment where it is that I, like, I'll be able to see exactly what this is being used by or for, if that's what's actually going on.
Yeah, it can be, but again, that just gets absorbed into the system. So in other words, trying to do practice from up here,
yes,
like asking ourselves these questions and answering them, again, to some extent, that's useful. But at some point, we got to just let it all go and just be here.
Yep.
Because we know what leads to suffering and what leads towards freedom. We don't have to ask ourselves that question, really. We just need to, at some point, and I think for all of us who are here, you know, we're at that point. At some point, we just need to let it go and just be here. Not figure it out, not try to understand it, not try to manipulate something to get there, not using any tricks. Just being here, just not suffering.
just being here, not suffering, not trying to get anywhere, not trying to do anything is how we teach people how to meditate. You know, we're not, there's no particular goal that we're going for, no outcome.
Mm-hmm.
We're just being here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what I enjoy about it is it's really possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what is.
Mm-hmm.
We are here.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff is stuff we do instead. We attempt to see the other stuff we do instead. And I think it's almost inevitable that we attempt to do that from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then that can be, I just keep saying the same thing over and over again. But it just, there comes a time where we need to let go of being that somebody and just, and really just be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just dropping, it's just dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, and acting from that, like with the stuff. I mean, who cares, really?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody cares.
No, totally, yeah.
But that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way in which I care in a way that's useful,
mm-hmm.
where then I can act from that. Okay, well, I'm just going to do the best I can with this. Hmm, I take this, go to my suffering, you know, whatever it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of using all that just to reinforce all the whole way that we cause ourselves to suffer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it again, it's just like whether you do one thing or another, it's like within the system, it will incorporate it back in again and make meaning out of it. And if I do this, I'm this. If I do that, I'm that. And you know, the thing that I keep getting over and over again is that, like, it's all just about paying attention to what happens as I do that. Like the whole thing, all of life can be just one big workshop,
mm-hmm.
in which
but you're not thinking about it.
Right. Well, no. It's just it's like I do this and I see what conditioning comes in with,
mm-hmm.
and then I do the opposite and I see what conditioning comes with, and the whole thing is just about, it's not about getting the thing right, where there's a right answer out there somewhere, or a person that I end up becoming.
Including practice,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
we don't want to get practice right either, because that's just the same thing.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter what gets thrown into the mix. What I'll end up seeing is how this being does whatever it does, and how much of it is how much conditioning tries to come in and manipulate whatever it is.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And then the seeing is the same thing as letting go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the way conditioning interprets that is the seeing, that is something now to incorporate and think about.
Yeah, well, it's mm-hmm. like, how did I see? Did I do well seeing? Well, now what am I going to do with the seeing? You know, and it just gets folded back in again. So that's the part you're talking about. We just need to get here and be here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guidance for a long time has just been like, breathe. That's it. Very simple. Drop it. Breathe. You know, but, well, how about this? Mm-hmm. And then, no, drop it, breathe. Thank you. June.
I get a clean place out of hand pages every now and then. And just, you know, I run a big business out of my house. Not so big. But stuff does accumulate. And it seems like what Daniel was saying was so helpful. I can either do it with attitudes and reluctance, or trying to get it right and make sure that I do exactly the right thing with the right, whatever it is. It's mm-hmm. either this or this. Yeah. Or I can do it with kindness,
mm-hmm.
right, and presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Why would I choose to separate stuff out so that I send the minimum of stuff to the landfill and the maximum of stuff to the secondhand store, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The maximum of stuff to recycling? It's because I'm trying to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do it with anxiety and doubt, and I'm the person who's being wiped out with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of any big clean out, I'll go back and forth between being the person who is being wiped out with kindness and being the person who's just having a great time.
Uh-huh, great.
And of course, the thing that triggers the awareness that I'm in the perfectionistic, get it right mode is I'm suffering. It's real clear. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, as we were saying, just come back to the moment, come back to kindness, come back to the only person we can take care of.
Yeah, yeah, the only person who can take care of, that person who can be here.
Yeah.
Or lives here.
Yeah.
It's not separate from here. Which is where the kindness is. So you watch how we get drawn out of that place into suffering. About anything, about cleaning out.
Yeah, that is about replication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah. That's a really good question, about kindness or not. Amy.
So, I'm looking at something that looks like it relates, I'm not sure, but where I'm looking at the someone who goes to guidance sessions, and with the story or the belief that I'm struggling and I have to use this guidance appointment as the opportunity to figure out fix that.
Uh-huh, right.
And it was suggested to me that that maybe that that wasn't the experience I was having of struggling, and I looked, and in that moment I was actually okay.
Uh-huh.
And and then it was like, well, there was this feeling of I'm having a hard time articulating it, that even if I was okay in that moment, I still had to figure out what to do about the times when I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure exactly what to say about this or where I'm going with it.
Let me see if I follow that.
Okay.
So you found out that you're going into guidance appointments,
mm-hmm.
and you're noticing that going into them, there's looking to see, you know, how to use the guidance appointment to resolve this thing that you're struggling with,
mm-hmm.
or to bring it up. That's the thing you need to bring up. And then it was encouraged to you to look to see if that's what actually is going on. Is there a struggle going on? And you looked and there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any struggling. And yet that there's something that came in afterwards that said that, yes, but you still, even though there's no struggle right now, you still have to resolve the thing that's not working out or is wrong or needs to be resolved. Is that right?
I think so. I feel like I'm being less clear than I was before I even started talking.
Uh-huh. Probably onto it.
Pardon?
You're probably onto it.
It felt like it related to the not figuring it out and the just letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And and maybe if I were to look to see in the times where it feels like that struggle is going on, maybe I actually be kind of okay at those times too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure though.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just say that I'm feeling this like panic setting in, that sharing in group is uncomfortable for me, and
so sharing in group is uncomfortable for you.
For someone, and
mm-hmm.
someone who shows up to group, so it seems like it's a pretty consistent experience of
mm-hmm.
sitting in group and being uncomfortable. And but I'm doing it. And
yeah, you're doing it.
And
and you're okay. You've kind of proven the point that you were talking about, what happened to you in guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there a struggle? No. It's
mm-hmm.
telling you that there is, or something that you should look at.
So, yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, thank you. Penny.
So one thing that came up when Dave was talking was, I feel like I've just had this very concrete experience of the difference between trying to sort out, figure out, prepare for, understand, and just being there. And
mm-hmm.
I mentioned on Thursday that we have this cat who has a wound, and so. Prior to, and we have to squirt this stuff on it, this open wound,
mm-hmm.
that makes this painful for her. And so I have a lot of stuff going about, you know, I'm this squeamish person who doesn't like to do things and like that, and it's going to be really hard. And
mm-hmm.
and then there was the moment of just squirt, you know,
mm-hmm.
just squirt. And then the moment was over,
mm-hmm.
and it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I can tell, nobody was there. You know, it
mm-hmm.
just squirt.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that, you know, like I can spend a lot of time sort of sorting out the me who's going to do this and who's involved and
mm-hmm.
who likes it and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just squirt, just do the job. And and so what I was seeing and what we're talking about is that for, you know, so one of my things is, I'm also someone who
mm-hmm.
figures things out, or I'm also someone who, my story is I'm too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was just looking at was, if I'm not suffering, if I'm not figuring things out, if I'm not someone who's too squeamish, if I'm not someone who's too busy, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what, for me, is I just saw was that feels like the bottom line.
Yeah.
That all of that is a way of keeping me being the someone who is that.
Uh-huh. Someone who is that, or the nothing in which all of it arises. You know, like, who would be here? Well, the person who squirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, which is something that you may not have even considered.
Yeah.
With all that other stuff, this, you know, I'm too squeamish, or I don't know about this, or
yeah.
I don't really care, or whatever that will come up.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, for conditioning is the scariest thing of all. This is
mm-hmm.
not having one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
A while ago, someone referred to in group that cartoon, which I just is so brilliant, of the bird
mm-hmm.
between the two bars of the cage and the
mm-hmm.
whole rest of the cage is empty.
That's right.
And the bird is like that, and I just was seeing that with my too busy story, you know, what happens when I get into my too busy story is that life presents a lot more to do. So it's lots of opportunity to look at that edge. But I realize that every time something more is presented and I say, okay, I can do this, when I say I can do this, I just turn right around and put another bar in, and the this that I can do is the next bar. You know, then I get another message that's like, oh God, no, I can't do that. Uh-huh. So I just got a note on the board about something I didn't do. It's like, and what came up for me was, oh God, one more thing. You know? Uh-huh. And what I realized is that I was just beginning to feel like, you know, I could do all these things, and all I had done actually was put in one little bar, because I think what's at stake is that's who I am. I'm the one that's so much, either too much to do, or, okay, I can do this.
That's right.
And then another, you know, sort of identity boundary gets set. Mm-hmm. And actually, who knows what I can do?
Yeah, without actually considering it or thinking about it, that's like what I hear you relating to what Dave is saying, is just like, well, okay, drop it.
Everything is just squirt.
Everything is just squirt. Yes, exactly. Just squirt. Who would I be without the conversation about it? Who would I be without the ideas about how it is? It's kind of like what we started off this morning looking at.
Yeah.
You know, with what's possible and what's not.
Mm-hmm. And for whom?
For whom, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I can't see Sequoia's hand.
What came up for me when Marie was sharing earlier is just this, you know, ongoing assault by the voices. And I've been having a particular experience with that myself lately. And it just seems like, I don't know what's going on, but they want to wake me up at 1 o'clock. I can count on it, 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's not, I can't go to sleep, or I'm going to wake up a little early. It's like 1 o'clock.
So to have a little party, ready for the little table,
oh,
and welcome
God.
Conditioning, your little streamers.
And I was just, I don't know, I was just seeing it. They don't ever, you know, that I've heard this, I mean, I know this over and over again, the voices never sleep. You know, they just go on.
And it's my experience too.
And this is coming to me like, that is life in hell, you know? Life in hell would be to be having to listen to that voice nonstop, 24 hours a day, and without a break. And then I just thought, oh yeah, that is that is the term, that is suffering. That's the definition of suffering, you know? And just seeing that, seeing a little bit more clearly, how that system is just set up. And I was given a suggestion and guidance the other day to, I too have this stuff with that one more thing, you know, I'm feeling, I'm in a place in my life right now where I'm feeling a little overwhelmed with external things that are going on. And, you know, I come up with this on my own. And I was given the suggestion to just love the thing in front of me, to do it with the most love that I have. Mm-hmm. And it just resonated with, I think it resonated with my heart, because there's someone in here that's really all she's ever wanted to do. It's just bring love to whatever it is that's in front of her. And I love that I have a card box. I picked it up and this morning to see what my card for the day would be, and it was love as much as you can from where you are with what you've got. And it's just in what Dave was sharing this morning. It's just like, what attracted me to the practice is just the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
And I do get frequently pulled away into the voices who want to make it incredibly complicated.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's, one could suspect that that's what the whole thing is about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just an endless complication and like the hell you described, is just listening to them nonstop.
Yeah.
Because they're never going to say, love with everything that you've got is what you've got.
You know, and it is. I mean, that is, just one endless complication after the other. And just watching how great that feels to just love.
Yeah.
what that thing is. Love that cup. Love that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I love about it so much, is that it's just, it's the process that we're focusing our attention on is the process that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, so that if you practice loving the task or the cup or the food, or that's what you have.
That's what you have.
If you don't, then that's what you have too.
Yeah.
That it's just,
it's really simple.
Too much, and it's whatever it is.
Yeah. And watching, you know, of course, everything come in to say, you're going to love that, you know, plastic top off the soap dispenser, but, you know, or just having a comment about the whole thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And what other, you know, comment can you possibly make to that? I mean, what other alternative is there? So you're going to hate it?
Yeah, right.
You're going to what?
Right.
So why bother?
Exactly. And just this ties into my karma too, you know, well, you don't have time to love that thing right now, you know. You need to hurry through it.
You need to hurry
through it. Which just seems to love it seems to be the balm mm-hmm. for that kind of urgency, and that I need to hurry through it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, been a great group, mm-hmm. and I can absolutely relate to what everybody is sharing this with me, mm-hmm. as you can, so just grateful, mm-hmm. and I love that.
Just to drive conditioning crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right.
I've had a really interesting experience where it feels like my days are getting better and my nights are getting worse, so I just have been having this really interesting series of nightmares, actually. So, and it got really intense last night. I went to bed about 9:15, and by 9:45, I was just woken in like stark terror, because every time I go to sleep, I have a little micro nightmare that something's trying to get in my door, my hermitage, and there's always kind of critters walking around. I can hear, you know, I've seen them, they're deer, you know, birds flying around and whatnot. But then there's this drive to link that dreamed experience to now I hear a critter walking around outside, so that was just trying to get in, you know. And really interesting to have the experience of kind of waking up into full fight or flight mode. Mm-hmm. You know, so my heart's racing, I've got a lot of adrenaline and whatnot. And then to see the process where that becomes identified with fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having all these physiological sensations, and I got to a point, because it's just happened so many times now, where it's just like, oh, okay, this is happening again, this is interesting. And, you know, everything's kind of firing on all cylinders here, ready to go. I'm just going to sit in bed until I calm down and go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really fascinating to see this process of how bodily sensations get mapped onto some story that's going on. You know, I suspect it's just because if I'm awake all night, then during the day I'm a little bit easier to distract and take off into whatever other story.
Mm-hmm.
It just really, you know, talking about conditioning never sleeps, it just really kind of, well, yeah, I've had that experience.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that how it works too, where it's like it'll link, you know, something that happens to a fear, to bodily sensations, and then all of a sudden, there you are. And the alternative, the way to deal with that is to allow it to watch, to see how it does what it does, and just sit there with it.
Mm-hmm. That's been my project recently. I had a really neat experience last night where I had actually a night terror. So to take it up a notch, I don't know if you're familiar with what a night terror is. But
I think I've heard of that.
It's basically when you go to sleep and you start dreaming, your brain paralyzes your spinal column so that your body doesn't move around while it thinks it's doing all these things.
Hmm.
And if that goes wrong, then you'll be awake still but paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
and usually associated with this really overwhelming sense of another presence near you, which is, I'm sure, responsible for all sorts of interesting experiences people have. And so I had this experience that whatever that was had gotten in the room and was gnawing on my arm, which I couldn't feel. And I was sitting there, and I just had this moment of clarity where I was like, if I can't feel my arm, how do I know something's gnawing on it? You know, and then, oh, this isn't real. And just kind of woke up again, and went, oh, here I am again. You know? So 9:45, 11:30, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, just over and over and over again, it's the same process. Okay, well, go back to sleep, I guess.
Yeah, go back to sleep again. Because it, just because it's telling you that something is so doesn't mean that it actually is.
It was just a great lesson in seeing all of that, and then also getting to watch sometimes just the projection, how I put meaning onto things. You know, if I was sitting, even if I just had the light on, you know, or if I was sitting in my room during the day and I heard little critters walking around outside, well, I know that it's nothing, it's just little critters. But then suddenly there's a story and it gets mapped onto all of this, and just seeing how I was creating this sort of world that supported being terrified. Just choosing not to live in it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all.